I want to announce something. The Charles Roach Memorial Service, a formal gathering to recognize the career and accomplishments of the great lawyer Charles Roach, is going to be held Saturday, November the 10th, 2 p.m., University of Toronto Convocation Hall. That's 31 King's College Circle. And you can call 416-978-2100 for additional details. That's, of course, it's located at the University Avenue and College Street, Queen's Park, in Toronto. And the Charles Roach Memorial Confirmation meeting is being confirmed in its Convocation Hall, the University of Toronto, 2 p.m., November the 10th. And I believe now we are joined by author Fred Jerome. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. The signal's a little faint, but I'm getting it.
Fred, of course, people know of your books, The Einstein File and Einstein on Zionism and Israel, and as well as the Einstein on Race and Racism. I want to make sure people know who you are. That's quite an accomplishment. I want to ask you. I guess you're in New York. I better find out how do you believe the crisis there is being handled before we talk about the election. How are you doing, and how are your neighbors in New York?
Yeah, well, we're doing okay. I have to tell you that there's so much to talk about. You're gonna have to steer me towards what you think is really important, but the storm, recent current suffering, which is taking place in New York and all over the East Coast, clearly caused by ocean flooding, which is related to the melting of icebergs and clearly related to the increased use of coal and gas and oil and other fossil fuels. It's almost as if the basic cause of this thing is being totally ignored by the Obama administration, by Obama and Romney, not mentioned in their debates, not mentioned in their public speeches, so that Obama actually even met privately with a whole group of environmentalists and told them not to discuss global warming because it might be embarrassing to the big power companies which are supporting him.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
And they're to do that because he's their friend, and therefore they don't have to worry about that. He'll worry about it.
Right. Unfortunately, they're going along with it. You know.
Yeah, that leads us then to because, by the way, a lot of campaigning is being done around this issue. Today's New York Times has a comment by their Nobel Prize-winning economist, name escapes me, but he says, well, Romney thought he was going to gain by this problem in New York, but probably Obama will. Everybody's trying to calibrate who's going to win, who's going to lose based on these every detail. Now, go ahead.
But not the fundamental issues. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
People, of course, and I should say Canadians, they allegedly are 7 out of 10 would like to have Obama. I don't know, but at any rate, and all the liberal community and liberal left community are once again, every 4 years, they begin to have problems about what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
You must be approached. Let's do this anecdotally. People ask you, well, or tell you, you got to vote for Obama. I mean, what do you say to, how have you been dealing with that question?
There are several aspects to it. I should say first and foremost that Obama's failure to act on global warming is just one of many failures, and it needs to be stated, and needs to be stated outright that beginning with his failure to close Guantanamo Bay and the U.S. torture base there and the other U.S. torture bases around the world, which he had promised to close, his continued support for Israel's brutal and illegal occupation of Palestine, and the use of, and his ex- huge expansion of the use of killer drones killing innocent people are all part of Obama's failures, which have to be cited. I mean, it's not just global warming that he's fallen down on. I should say that this is not to say that Romney is any better and at all, but that whichever one you support or whatever happens in the elections, the bloom is off the rose. The sense of that 4 years ago there was an excitement, there was something new, there were a lot of young people registering to vote for the first time, and that the elections have returned to what in America you might call politics 101, which is corruption is everywhere, politics are corrupt, the elections are corrupt, and politicians are corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing I want to say about it. The second is that the idea that, well, you got to vote for a lesser evil somehow,
mm-hmm.
is nothing new. And I remember, depends how far back you want to go, but if I can just read you something.
And let's do Cal Coolidge. Let me
read you a headline from a newspaper, a daily newspaper in New York, in 1952, October 15th, 1952, this was a paper called The Compass, which was a left liberal newspaper. And the headline says, quote, I.F. Stone says, if Ike wins, beware the morning after. And the point of the story was that I.F. Stone was saying that if Eisenhower gets elected president, there's going to be a military dictatorship in America.
Yeah. Hello? My golly, we lost him. Our apologies to Fred. We'll get back to
that. That's for letting the cat out of the bag about the military dictatorship.
Letting the cat out of the bag about I.F. Stone.
Yeah.
by the way, we're going to be getting Fred back, we assume, and I want to remind you who he is. He's Fred Ron, is the author of Einstein on Zionism in Israel, his provocative ideas about the Middle East. That's published by St. Martin's Press in 2009. He also wrote The Einstein File, which is an account of J. Edgar Hoover's stalking of Einstein and actually attempting to remove him from the U.S. It's an amazing story about how sick and demented the FBI leadership was at that point. And the third book is Einstein on Race and Racism, which is a brilliant account, actually, of Einstein's relations to, particularly to Paul Robeson and W.E.B. Du Bois, and a really remarkable relationship, a political one. And we have Fred Jerome back. Fred, as soon as you warned us about a military dictatorship, our phone went out.
I see. That was it.
So I.F. Stone said we were going to have a military dictatorship if Ike was elected. Are you still there? My goodness. Now it's been...
This has been happening with New York phones all week, by the way.
Has it?
Yes, yeah. I was calling one of my relatives, and it was like every 30 seconds the phone would go dead, and we'd have to place the call again. So.
Yeah. I have a quote I want to read him. He read me one from I.F. Stone. I think that's great. Jesse Jackson wrote his last-minute appeal. All the big shots come in at the last minute, Bruce Springsteen, Bill Clinton, et cetera. But Jesse Jackson said why you have to vote for him. And the phrase that he used is beautifully unforgettable. He said that Barack Obama represents the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That's, of course, from the man who was the leader of the Rainbow Coalition. And pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And as Fred Jerome has just outlined for us, he said he was going to close Guantanamo. Didn't do that. He told people not to raise the weather issue, the global warming issue, because it would hurt him, his chances. He uses drone warfare, which is a brand new form of quite bizarre. We're kind of crossing over into H.G. Wells territory now, drone warfare, and that just nobody has a problem with that. and Jesse Jackson. All that being said, and by the way, American prisons still it's the number one prison country in the world. I mean, in terms of however you want to measure it, they have more prisoners, but an extraordinary high percentage of African Americans, and so he's to be rewarded with for more of this. Of course, there's only the only question we have here, or we have several, but one is, why can't people muster an opposition so that they don't have to choose between these two plutocrat candidates? And I think you'd have to say, well, maybe American democracy, the word they like to use for it, doesn't actually work, and that it gets, you know, praise for nada. By the way, Phil, you have an announcement. Better let's do that one. While
yes, and this, of course, relates to Hurricane Sandy. While all this is going on in New York and in New Jersey, the week before, Sandy did a lot of damage to Cuba. And there was a tremendous amount of damage in eastern Cuba. And the Canadian Network on Cuba is actually raising funds for a registered Canadian charity that wants to do relief. The eastern portion of Cuba, which including, by the way, Guantanamo Bay, was the places that were the worst damage. So we ask our listeners to go to CanadianNetworkOnCuba.ca, and you'll find the instructions for donating. Your donation is tax deductible. Of course, Cuba has a lot of expertise in this in these matters. So your money will be well spent.
Good. And we're going to take another stab at this. Fred, I'm sorry. I don't know whether it's your problems in New York. I outlined, you had the quote from Stone. And I remember the election, and I wonder if you think this is a parallel. Lyndon Johnson, many people said, well, he actually was the best president in modern times since Roosevelt because he brought in the war on poverty. He had another war going,
right.
The Vietnam War. And it strikes me, don't we have sort of a parallel thing? Aren't they trying to selling us Obama the way they did Johnson? And look what he does for you. Never mind what he does to somebody else.
Exactly. The idea was if we didn't vote for Johnson, that Goldwater would bomb North Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And then if Goldwater got elected, then he would bomb North Vietnam. So then Johnson got elected and Johnson bombed North Vietnam.
And
I think the idea that you can have a guy who does good things at home and kills innocent people around the world is wrong on the face of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you were to worry about the long term interest of your domestic population, it will be not good for them either.
That's right. That's exactly right. And in the case of Obama, the fact that he's already deported more people from this country than any other president in the history of the world, of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And the tens and tens of thousands of people deported, most of them are Latin Americans. Latin Americans arrested and deported without a trial, without a hearing, without a lawyer, without a charge.
Mm-hmm.
Just another example.
Yeah. One last question now. What about this? What is it about the liberal left, et cetera, that they cannot muster a choice so that, or find a way to put a challenge to the two-party plutocrat system?
Well, I think that the real answer is, at least in part, you can't do it around one day of the year.
Yeah.
It has to be part of a general organization for a new system.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one day of the year is so totally controlled and locked up by the media, which are the big business media in this country. A friend of mine, a young African-American who a young fellow that never heard anybody but the two major party candidates, said to me the other day, I just heard three or four of the small party candidates speaking just by accident, and they make a lot of sense. I wonder why I never heard them before. And so I think the answer is to begin to build now for the other 364 days of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and maybe a round of responses to the treatment of the poor people of New York City when bad weather hits. That might be a starting point.
I think it's a good point, and there are many possible starting points, and I think we're going to start calling some meetings next week. We have some meetings scheduled, which we're calling, for the time being, we're calling them 364.
Ah.
And to begin to discuss what to do, what to focus on for the rest of the year.
Very good. Fred, that's. Yeah. I look forward, maybe that gives us a good hook. We'll get back to you, because it is the issue. There's no use our whining every 4 years saying, oh, this is all I got. If you were not doing anything the rest of the time, there's, you know.
Right, exactly.
Nothing to complain of. Well, it's.
That's exactly the point.
Well, you're the author of great books, and it's terrific talking to you. I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, Phil, and I'm sorry about the.
Yeah, no, that's between all of us. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Right.
Bye-bye. Fred Jerome. And I'm going to remind you again, the books, particularly the book, the new one, the 2009, I call that new, Einstein on Zionism in Israel, is Einstein's provocative ideas about the Middle East. And that's published by St. Martin's Press. You can, I know people are... No, I just walk in the store and tell somebody to order it for you, or you go into Google. And it's very important to have that book, in my opinion. I would tell you again before we take the break that the event for Charles Roach Memorial Service is going to be Saturday, November the 10th, 2 p.m., University of Toronto Convocation Hall, 2 p.m. Saturday, November the 10th. So... this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, Taylor at CIUT.FM.